Growing up, we had a backyard garden, and I don't know why, Jeff. For some reason, I think more of the responsibility fell on me for the garden than it did for you, because I picture me out there all the time. I never remembered you being out there. Did you
Oh, I remember the opposite.
Oh, you're nuts. Okay, so here's the deal. I remember 1 year I wanted to plant watermelons even. And I thought these watermelons, these are gonna, and so I planted the watermelons and then I was worried about the watermelons because you know you're just like rotate watermelons. You don't just like leave them there. And I thought better than that, I'm going to create slings, like a little mini hammock for these watermelons. So I actually went out with sticks. I got some little fabric. I tied the fabric and I rested the little watermelons inside the slings, thinking that would be helpful for them. They would grow huge, they would be enormous. I don't think they ever got more than like 6 inches across. I don't even know if we ever ate them, but I guess that shows my agri challenges that I have. But imagine if you could have technology that would help you grow things better. I mean, that's like not just technology, but like voice technology. Somehow that's going to work out. And somehow we're going to learn about that today. Welcome to the Voice Box, everybody. I'm Darren.
And I'm Jeff. Today, we're talking to Bruce Raisa. Bruce, it's good to talk to you today on the Voice Box. How are you doing?
Great, Jeff. Thanks.
Now, Bruce, I got to find out. We're talking about like, I don't know if you have agri-technology is a, like, I don't know, but we'll create that. You are totally in that, but your background is totally agriculture. You grew up like a farm boy. You didn't have watermelons and slings, though, I'm gathering, right?
No, that's a new one, though. I mean, you might bring that back. So.
See, I know. There's potential with that idea, right?
I think
get
so.
Get a patent.
melon slings. There's a thing there. Just so we can paint the picture, what was growing up for you like? What kind of, you grew up on a farm. So what was the farm like?
Actually, let's see. As a kid, let's see. At first, it was a 100-acre farm. There were some cattle. We had some geese. They were kind of mean, by the way. They bit my dad once. But it was largely hay and wheat. It's a very basic farm early on. And then, since then, it's now grown to 4,000 acres that my dad and brother have here in the Kansas City area.
And apple trees. You got to mention the apple trees.
That's right. My aunts and uncles have an apple orchard of 40,000 apple trees on the banks of the Missouri River.
I'm just most intrigued by the geese farming. I don't know if I've ever met anybody who farms geese.
Well, they were more pets that can bite you and hurt you. They weren't really, we never farmed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, you see geese in the store. You're like, I mean, not like geese walking around, but even like, you know, next to the chickens and the turkeys and Christmas goose, someone's going to buy a Christmas goose. So someone's got to raise those geese. I just didn't know. Maybe that was you, Bruce, is the goose farmer. And we didn't even know that. But no, right?
I haven't tried that one. Maybe okay. We'll do that with the watermelon sling.
Okay. See, right. We got geese farming and watermelon slings coming. Bruce, give me the idea on how you are using technology now to improve the whole world of agriculture.
Sure. So Darren, one way to think about it is basically there's been an unbelievable spike in people wanting to know where their food comes from, how it was grown. And frankly, was it grown in a safe and environmentally responsible way? So that's continued to grow in recent years with more and more digital tools and things like that. The challenge is there's a lot of people in agriculture, the farmers and all kind of the army of specialists that support them, and they already have hands-on jobs, but there effectively are no hands-on tools that they can use practically either out in the field or in the barn with animals and things like that. So the other challenge that comes up is internet connectivity can either be non-existent or sporadic or can be too expensive. In fact, 24 million people in the US do not have broadband connectivity, and the majority of those, you won't be surprised, are in rural areas. So it's actually an inhibitor to the industry and sharing this information that consumers want.
Yeah, it's all those geese farmers out there who don't have Wi-Fi, have a hard time accessing YouTube on how to farm their geese. And
so the geese haven't, you know, stood up and demanded the Wi-Fi yet. So
see, it's coming. It is coming. Speaking of what's coming, how are you using speech or voice technology to now overcome some of those challenges that you're running into? Because I'm picturing you got this army of people out there trying to get some of the stuff and gather information. How are you using speech and voice to make that happen?
Yeah. So let's go to a scenario. People usually can relate to sweet corn pretty easily. So sweet corn or even a conventional corn, field corn, can grow up to 12 feet tall. Okay. People have to go into that crop and inspect it during the year to make sure it's healthy. There's no weed, disease, insect, or things like this. And our first users, some of them there and do 400 inspections a day of 15 square foot plots of this corn. So what they're doing, they're grading the sweet corn for kernel size and color and taste and flavor and different characteristics that we all like. And ironically, they vary greatly by markets and region of the country and region of the world. And so to answer your question on boys, what they often tell us is, gosh, the ideal thing for me would be, like, can I just take my phone and put it in my pocket? And so we found a way to do that. Phone stays in the pocket. There's a unique headset. And the whole point is the worker gets to work hands-free. And then the domain-specific information they need around that certain crop, around weed, disease, insect, is recognized by, if you will, a little voice box in your pocket.
So, in fact, I just realized we haven't said the name of your company yet. Your company is Ag Voice, which makes sense. It's agricultural voice data capture and entry and assistance, something like that.
Yeah, it's basically the challenge of voice that we found over time is an experiment with was the speed and the convenience of it. This notion of hands-free was pretty magical, and people wanted that over and over again. The challenge was the accuracy side. And so what we've worked over time to do, Jeff, with AgVoice is narrow the domain and work with the data, prepping it in advance to give the user the maximum ability to achieve the best accuracy and then also correct it on the fly if something doesn't come out how they need.
So if I'm one of these sweet corn inspectors, agronomists, is that the right word? Okay, so
nice, nice showing off the big words there, agronomist. Okay,
yeah, I looked it up.
A sweet corn inspector was fine. You didn't have to go to agronomist, but that okay. Go ahead.
So I'm going to go out in the field to one of these plots that you described, and I'm going to pick some random ears of corn and inspect them for color and taste and size and whatever, bugs and fungus and whatever, and I'll then. Talk into this headpiece that I have, and my phone is in my pocket, recording that and transcribing that, and entering that into a database somewhere. Is that sort of the idea?
Yeah, that's the basic flow, and then it ends up in a report that they need to exchange with their stakeholders. And those could be, say, a grocer they supply to. That could be their company that grows these kind of crops, all types of fruits, vegetable, dairy, and so forth, at scale. But they need to, basically, they ultimately need to get to data. Ultimately, it's even a spreadsheet, but we allow them to fill out, if you will, the spreadsheet, but they can fill it out in any order. We do the rest.
So I'm picturing literally this army of agronomists, big fancy word, big agronomists. We've got these headsets on that are just sort of like moving through, almost like some kind of Men in Black or some kind of alien invasion. It was like all of them just like going through these fields, picking corn, entering information, and just speaking it, and that information is all captured. Is that how simple and simplified this is? And this is a reality. This is happening right now, right? This is to that technology.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And these first specialists with these, again, hundreds of inspections a day, often need a specialized microphone. And it does, maybe it does look a little Men in Black. I hadn't thought about that one. But it's
Men in Green. It's Men in Green because they're out in the fields, okay?
Yeah, or Children of the Corn.
Okay, this is getting creepy now. Okay.
So let's go back to the positive side. In that case, they also often can encounter a great deal of noise, Darren. So literally, specifically corn, and later in the season, the leaves can rustle and be extremely loud just because it's bristling. So to eliminate or minimize that noise, focus only on the user's voice. We have a specialized microphone that we get, arrange them from different hardware partners, but we only do the software service part.
So what's the next step? Where are you going next with this? Give me a little sneak into what you're working on next, the next steps that are coming with this technology.
I guess kind of two things. One is, we see this longer term, multiple years, but frankly, the phone goes away. There's so many technologies that are becoming embedded in wearables, whether those are smartwatches or smart glasses. It's going to take a few more years, but increasingly there will be hands-free options by which you won't even have the phone in your pocket anymore. But we're not quite there yet. Right now, it has a basic starting point. And again, we've started with these specialists, but in time, farmers, ranchers, and others can use the service with just one big button on their phone. So some of them don't want to hassle with microphones and things like that. They just want the device they already have and a convenient way to put in information. So we basically see that becoming more natural. With that, Darren, I think there's an array of multiple forms of different voice enhancements that continue to make it more accurate, more relevant, more contextual, and just help them in their everyday work. Very practical way. Hands-free is the gateway, is the main thing. There's one more thing, which is connectivity is actually coming. And specifically, there's the 5G notion with cellular, but the low Earth orbit satellites are coming this year and next to, we're almost at the point where there could be reach across the whole Earth within a year or two.
So at the beginning, you were talking, because now as I'm going through this, I'm picturing all these inspectors roaming through fields. But we sort of talked at the beginning as one of the challenges was consumers are wanting information about how and where and what, you know, is going into that. So how does tie it all together for me? Is this, how are consumers going to learn this? Is there information that's going to come to them through this, or how does that come back to them?
No, great question. And I don't expect consumers will want to listen to every recording of a field worker because they can get pretty tedious. But that's the reason workers light up when they see what we're doing, because very frankly, often they will, we've had multiple people tell us, all I need really is just a third hand, right? I have so many records to do. They usually spend about 20% of their day doing record keeping. It's increasingly mandatory. And so to answer your question, Darren, there's a certification document that consumers can know from a trusted source of, you know, here's how my fruits, vegetables, dairy products, or things like that were grown. And so we kind of feed in and augment those systems uniquely. This isn't so much something like it comes out on the other end from Alexa, you know, what was the kernel size of Darren's sweet corn, you know, plucked from that, you know, that Nebraska farm yesterday before it got to your grocery, local grocery overnight. It feeds the data supply chain, all of which is consumer driven. It's about trust and assurance and verification. And that piece has been missing. And to me, it's an extremely important time, frankly, we come together and we build more and more trust across ecosystems.
And we're talking about these movies. I just keep now picturing Field of Dreams. You remember Field of Dreams, where all of a sudden all these ghosts were walking, you know, the old baseball players walking out of the field. That's what it's like. All these inspectors, when they're coming out of the field, they're like, wait, what are you doing in the field? Oh, we were just checking kernel size back there in the back corner of the field or whatever.
And then they play a baseball game.
See, yeah, exactly. Yeah, we got done early because we had all this voice stuff trapped into it, and we can play a couple innings. Bruce, if you could look into, I sort of picked your brain a little bit on what's coming down the road, but I want you to look farther. If you had a magic genie, you could rub the box, the voice box here, instead of the lamp, it's the voice box. You're going to rub the voice box and have any wish. Oh, I know. See, your mind's going. See you looking off in the corner. You could have any dream wish come true. The genie comes out and says, we can make anything happen for you as far as like voice and speech stuff. Does anything pop into your mind of any grandiose wish coming down the road that you would think like, wow, that'd be really cool if we could someday do X?
Interesting.
He's looking back. He goes back. I want to see like the feet pop up or something and like, you know, scratch your chin. Okay.
Yeah. I'd say, let me think through customer requests that way. But what people have told us, increasingly people have many people have tried and sensed the promise, obviously with something like Alexa, but maybe something like Siri or Google Voice. And what they often ask us for more than anything else, Darren, is that it be more and more customizable, more and more natural. And so it fits in their everyday world for their specific needs. In this case, we're focused on work needs, you know, not consumers. And so increasingly going through those challenges of not only multiple languages, which is doable, but it's the accents and the variations and the nuances. That's where we see, frankly, it increasingly replacing a conventional graphical user interface. And so it sounds a little weird as far as part of the ultimate goal, but I look to a reference from my family's past. So I have a booklet of my grandfather's 1937 booklet. These are some examples of current day booklets. They're small pocket size booklets that the farmers write their notes in. And the point of bringing that up is increasingly what we want in the future is something that's that small, that lightweight, that natural, so that they can always capture the value for themselves and their consumers. So it's a mix of technologies, but it's basically more and more customization capabilities and more natural.
Yeah. So the booklet goes away and it's all just captured with voice and speech and all that kind of stuff.
That's their ideal. Because remember, they're part of this. They're on the move a lot. They walk a great deal during the day to do inspections, and they often drive a great deal. So their hands and their eyes are occupied. And for even safety reasons, their dream is voice. If voice can increasingly get better, more tailored for them, they'll take it.
Yeah. By the way, the Field of Dreams scene, when those people were walking out of the dreams and they out of the cornfields, you know who they were being chased by?
Yeah.
The mean, nasty geese who were trying to bite them. That's what it was. See, that's why they were coming out of the fields. They're like, we had more to inspect, but these geese that Bruce was raising, they're like trying to bite us and attack us there. Bruce, thanks so much for joining us and sharing your insight and information. If people want more information, where do they, because you got great information. Do they go to your website to learn more?
Yeah, it's the company name is AgVoice, AGVOICE. Website is agvoiceglobal.com.
And you're always looking to partner and work with what type of people? Who's your consumer?
Yeah, we start in obviously a unique niche in food and agriculture, but if anyone knows either potential, customers or partners, there's also a related set of companies that work with agriculture. Those could be logistics, insurance, and other things like that. So if anyone happened to listen to this would know potential partners in there, we've solved a really hard problem that we know of more than 10 companies in the industry have tried over the years, and every single one of them has failed. And so we've solved a unique, pervasive problem, and we're always looking for partners that would like to, adopt it and try it out.
Great, because there are going to be people here listening. They're like, oh, wait, who? I know somebody who could benefit from this. It's John, the goose farmer down the road. Or it's Barbara who grows those watermelons. Yeah, who's going to need those melon slings? It's going to change her world. Okay.
Bring it back.
Okay, Bruce, thanks for stopping in.
Bruce, thank you.
So, Jeff, I got to find out from you, what is the future? What are the things that they can do? How do you envision speech and voice technology helping them with some of the things that they're doing right now?
Well,
could they do in the future?
Yeah, I have to be, I think I have to be clear here, full disclosure. I've actually been working as a consultant with Bruce for a few years now. So I'm a little bit aware of what some of his concerns are and challenges. One of the things that I think.
So, by the way, when he said 10 companies have tried to do what we've tried to do and nobody's been able to do it, basically that's you've been able to help them do what 10 companies haven't been able to do.
Well, yeah, sort of.
Okay, keep going.
Bruce has done the hard stuff. We just provide some of the technology. So the thing is, this is, I don't want to say it's simple, but it's fairly mainstream technology at this point, but with a bunch of little challenges that make it hard. So he has, Bruce has to make his technology, the voice recognition and interaction technology, he's got to make it work in a variety of different sound conditions, like rustling corn or a windy day or a rainy day even. He's got to make it work for people with a wide variety of accents across the US and around the world. He's not just looking at the US here. And so there's issues of languages and accents, and every crop or farm animal or whatever you're addressing here is going to have its own set of questions. You don't say the same things if you are reporting on a strawberry crop versus a corn crop. You say very different things. You're not going to look at a strawberry and talk about the kernel size and sweetness and whatever. You'll have your own, a different set of things to report on. And every farm is going to want to have their own, tweaks to it that they, some farm prides themselves in their organic fertilizer and they want to record something about that. I don't know, whatever. Where some of the challenges that Bruce is facing that we need to solve here and that we are solving, frankly, is to accommodate the wide variety of, as I say, noise conditions, accents, languages, crops, and so forth, and to make those easily customizable, because you can't have Bruce and his team customizing those kinds of things for every different farm. You need to let people, you need to enable and empower the users of those of his software to be able to do that. Now, that's a challenge and one that we're working on with Bruce.
Okay, we're excited to see what the future's holding. By the way, speaking of future, the opposite is past. I'm calling mom and dad. I'm going to find out who they picture working more in the backyard garden, because clearly I was the one who did the majority of the work. I don't know why you think that you would have been doing more work in the yard, in the garden, growing up.
I never did anything with watermelon slings. That's just nuts. But I did build my own sophisticated irrigation network in the garden.
I built an irrigation system. Now you're taking credit for the irrigation system. I had the gravity and the water, put the hose. Anyway, we got to discuss this at some other point. I'm talking to mom and dad. I'm finding out. I'm getting there.
All right.
They will remember. I was the king of the backyard garden. And the watermelon slings. That's a whole nother topic. Thank you, everybody, for listening in today and joining us on the Voice Box. Come listen to us next time on the Voice Box. I'm Darren.
And I'm Jeff. We'll see you next time.